Excuse me, are we on?
I think so.
Thank you.
Hello, it's Paul.
It's Nessa.
It's Paul and Nessa's Happy Hour.
A sketch comedy podcast without its staff and nonsense.
Blossoming into our finery like a maiden who secretly relinquished her virginity.
It's Series 2, Episode 7, Elton John and the Tossed Salad.
Hello, Jackie. I haven't seen you for ages.
Hello, Frank. How
have you been? Did you have a nice summer?
Yes. My son came over from Canada for the summer holidays.
Oh, that's nice. Did you meet him at the airport?
No. I've known him for years. So welcome to another edition of Happy Hour.
Yes, and before we start, we just have to get a few items of housekeeping out of the way first.
First of all, we should say that this episode is actually being recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Hello everyone. Although, please, in order to maintain the continuity of style of the rest of the series, we would ask that the audience remain absolutely silent for the remainder of the show. All right, thank you. You've made your point. Now be quiet.
Next, are we happy with the minutes of the previous episode?
Yes, passed with a majority of 2-1 with 27 abstentions.
Excellent. So on we go. If you are joining us, we would ask you to take your shoes off at the door.
Emergency exits are your pause button or, in case of an extreme emergency, the stop button. But please be aware, there are no refunds.
No. If you've come this far with us, you're not getting out now.
Okay, good. So, Nessa, do you want to know what I was doing this morning?
I'm not sure.
While you were downstairs working on your conference call earlier on, before we've come to record this, we've been doing a bit of measuring up in the house, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I found the tape measure that had been left on the floor in the dressing room. So do you know what I decided to do?
There?
Oh, that's not the thing I'm going to get onto.
Okay.
What I decided to do was, I decided to pile up our entire ironing pile and measure how high it was.
No.
Yeah. Do you want to have a guess how high our ironing pile is at this current moment in time?
It's got to be 1.5 metres.
Oh, a bit more than that.
Oh, no.
1.78 metres.
That's taller than me. No.
Yes. We've got 1.78 metres of ironing to do. And that's not even counting the stuff that's drying downstairs in the drying room.
I've got a suggestion.
What?
Instead of measuring it,
iron it.
Daddy, will you sing me a nursery rhyme before bedtime?
Of course, Ursula. Oh, yes, I know a good one. Come on then, settle down into bed.
Okay, Daddy.
Now. The grand old Duke of York.
The Duke of York? Not the real Duke of York.
No, Ursula, not the real one.
Not Andrew, the Queen's disowned middle son?
No, it's not him, Ursula.
Oh, good, because I don't want a bedtime story about a dirty, disgraced paedophile.
Ursula!
Well...
All right, just settle down, OK? It's not him. It's a pretend olden days Duke of York, all right? Right. The grand old Duke of York, he had 10,000 men.
He had 10,000 men? You mean in the biblical sense?
Ursula, of course not. How do you even know to use language like that?
CBeebies.
Well, no, it means that they were his regiment, all the soldiers that worked for him.
What? He needs 10,000 staff.
They were his army, Ursula, so yes, he did need 10,000.
I thought only kings were allowed to have armies.
Do you want to hear this nursery rhyme or not?
Suppose.
Right. So, Duke of York, 10,000 men, he marched them up to the top of the hill.
Why did he
They were training, Ursula. He had them out on a training mission. And he marched them down again.
What? So he marched them all the way up a hill and then he just marched them all the way down again. Seems a bit pointless to me. Why didn't he plan a more interesting and strategic route?
I don't know.
I mean, if there's supposed to be an army on a meaningful training manoeuvre, you'd think he'd put a bit more forward planning into the exercise. He could have had them tracking through a forest or doing a camouflage exercise on hostile rocky terrain or something.
He probably wanted to improve their lung capacity and overall fitness by doing an incline exercise.
Which hill?
What?
Which hill did he march them up and down?
Salisbury.
Oh, where's that?
Outer bloody Mongolia.
Daddy!
Sorry, Ursula, sorry. Let's just get to the end of the nursery rhyme, shall we? And then we can all go to sleep. And when they were up.
Obviously.
And when they were down.
Ditto.
And when they were only halfway up, they were neither up nor down.
Oh, come on, Daddy, I can't let that one go. Being halfway up or down a hill does not suddenly mean you're nowhere, like in some sort of no man's land. I mean, they're still on the hill, aren't they?
Well, yes.
And whether they can be considered to be either halfway up or halfway down would, in my mind, be determined by which way they are actually travelling.
Ursula.
And the nursery rhyme actually states quite clearly when they were only halfway up. So surely the implication there is that they are halfway up.
I think...
I mean, when Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay achieved their ascent on Mount Everest in 1953, when they reached base camp at nearly 18,000 feet and stopped for a few days to plan their further route to the summit, they were still going up Mount Everest. They were still on the mountain. They hadn't actually ceased to exist just because they were only halfway up and paused for a debrief, had they, Daddy?
Go to sleep, Ursula.
Night-night, Daddy. Love you.
All right, pop pickers, let's get quizzical.
This is the jingle for the quiz / game. It's not very easy to come up with the jingle. So that's the end of the jingle. And this is the start of the quiz / game.
Now, we've said in a previous episode that we do have a stack of back copies of the Sun newspaper in our house, don't we? But only to light the fires with, not to read them. But as I was lighting the fire the other night, I caught myself reading some of the headlines that they use, right? Mm. And they do like a pun in their headlines, these Sun journalists. So I thought we'd play a little game where you have to guess if these are real Sun headlines that I'm about to read out or if I've just made them up, right?
To be honest with you, you're not going to be able to make something up as stupid as they would, so it's going to be pretty obvious.
Well, let's see. This is a game that I'm calling the Pun Dear Pun. Ready?
Yeah.
Right. Reporting that a soap actress was allowed to keep her job after kneeing a copper in the privates, right? They used the headline, "That's nuts!" True or false?
True.
True, correct, true. Reporting that the Harvester restaurants were getting rid of their all-you-can-eat salads, they used the headline, "Mega Salad Tossed."
It's false.
That's true.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that one's
true. I'm more
true
concerned
as well
that they're actually getting rid of their salads.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's a... Oh, that's you should have read the story.
Oh, God.
Reporting that Elton John was booed at a concert he did at the Stadium of Light after telling the crowd of a gig that he'd done recently in Newcastle, they used the they used the headline, "Don't let the Sunderland get a downer on me."
Please be true.
That is true as well. That is true. These are all trained journalists, don't forget, who probably all went to university. Reporting on a pub in Leytonstone serving a pint of ale for just £1.49.
True.
It was a Wetherspoons. The headline was, "Hick, hick, hooray."
False.
No, that one's true. All got degrees, these people, don't forget. All right for a living. Reporting on a tennis player at Wimbledon shouting fuck in front of the royal box where little Prince George heard him, they used the headline, "Swear to the throne."
True.
It's true. It is true. Okay, finally. Reporting on a customer that won a court case against Deliveroo, they used the headline, Deliver Sue.
True.
It is true. Every single one of them headlines was true. Yeah. Congratulations, son journalist. You must be so proud of the work you do.
That is the end of the quiz / game. It's harder to write an outro than it is to write an intro, so we're not going to bother. So that is the end of the quiz / game.
Dug the hole pretty deep, so I don't think anyone will find him.
Sylvia, you're on.
Welcome back. Showbiz news now, and the London theatre scene was delighted at the announcement that We Will Rock You, the musical by Queen and Ben Elton, will be returning to London in June 2023, and Ben Elton will be returning to the production to direct. We sent our roving correspondent, Jeremy Pepette, into the heart of London's West End to catch up with him. Jeremy.
Hello, Sylvia.
Jeremy, there must be quite a buzz there at the moment.
It is very busy, Sylvia, yes.
It sounds like there's quite a few public turned up for this event.
Yes, indeed, Sylvia. I'm surrounded by people at the moment, and there's a real sense of excitement in the air. It's a very colourful atmosphere.
Excellent. And have you spoken to Ben Elton yet?
Sorry?
Ben Elton. Have you seen or spoken to him yet?
Ben Elton, the Thatcher-hating, overrated so-called stand-up comedian?
Well, I wouldn't put it quite like that. But the writer of We Will Rock You, yes.
No, Sylvia, I haven't seen him here at all. I don't think this would be his sort of scene, to be honest.
Right. So what have you seen? What are people doing there at the moment?
Well, some people are just looking around, browsing, you might say. I can see a queue over there at the counter.
You mean the box office?
No, just the checkout counter. Some people are trying on jumpers in the changing room.
Right. And can you see posters with ethnically diverse people wearing brightly coloured clothing?
That's right, Sylvia, I certainly can.
Jeremy Pepette there, not interviewing the writer-director of We Will Rock You, and instead in a branch of Benetton. Coming up next, a year at Longleat with John Virgo and the mutilated remains of Jeremy Clarkson.
It's celebrity interview time again now, because we've got no shame on how we try to raise a laugh.
Now, this one is actually a pre-record that we did earlier in the week, when Sir Alan Lord Sugar of Londinium came to visit us at our Northumberland mansion. So, here we go. As we say in broadcast land, roll VT.
Ah, that'll be him now. Lord Alan, hello.
Good morning.
Well, it's actually tea time.
Good morning.
Okay, well, come in. Go straight through to the dining room there. Can I introduce? This is Nessa.
Hello, Sir Sugar.
Good morning.
Sorry?
Good morning.
He seems to think it's morning. Just ignore him.
Okay. Well, sit down. Thanks for coming up from London to see us. We thought we'd do you something to eat. So tuck in.
So tell me, who was the chef here?
Nessa was, Lord Canderel.
Good chef, is she?
Yeah, I think so, definitely.
It's just a lamb casserole. What do you think?
Bland.
Bland?
Insipid.
Oh, right. Why is that then?
Because we've only 20% of lamb in there. It's.
So what would you have preferred to eat?
Dog food.
What? Look, I tell you what, Lord Alan, what would you say to a nice brandy?
Good morning.
Anyway, do you like what we've done with the place?
A pile of tut there.
Well, that's nice antique furniture. We bought it at an auction. A lot of it is actually quality Chippendale.
You know, the Trade Descriptions Act might get you in.
What, you don't think it's real?
Bollocks, to be honest with you.
Oh, right.
Ah, look, here's our doggy, Monty. Say hello, boy.
Good morning.
Bloody hell.
You know a lot about dogs, is that right?
Well, yeah, I suppose enough to look after our dog.
To me, that's not clear that it's a dog.
It's clearly a dog, Lord Tate and Lyle. It's got four legs, a tail, and it barks. See?
Do you not like dogs, Sir Al?
Dogs are piss poor, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
So, have you got any pets?
Larry the Caterpillar.
You've got Caterpillar as a pet?
Well, not for long. Soon he'll have a butterfly as a pet.
Nitpicking.
You started it.
Anyway, let's move on.
Anyway, let's move on.
I just said that. We'll do the quiz now, okay? A few general knowledge questions for you, Lord Silverspoon.
So with that in mind, I want you to speak so fast.
Okay, we'll make it a quick fire quiz. Here we go. Your time starts now.
In the time of Shakespeare, Britain's monarch was Queen...
Victoria.
No, it was Elizabeth.
How much does a pint of milk cost?
More than £2,000.
I don't know where you're buying your milk from.
What did Tory witch Margaret Thatcher do in 1990?
Became PM.
No, she resigned as PM, thank fuck.
What is Prince William's wife called?
Meghan.
No, that's the other one.
What tea time quiz show does Alexander Armstrong present?
The Chase.
No, pointless.
What was the name of the album released by Shakin' Stevens in 1980, from which the 1981 single of the same name was taken?
This Old Dog.
Bad luck. It was This Old House.
What was the name of Anne Charleston's character in Neighbours?
Gordon Ramsay.
No, it was Marge Ramsay.
What time of day would you eat supper?
In the morning.
No, at night.
Good morning.
Shut up. What is 17 times 15?
I can't work out.
It's 255.
Where was Billy Connolly from?
Barking.
No, Glasgow.
How long is the gestation period of a flea?
60 years.
No, 1 to 10 days.
Where do archers keep their arrows?
On their dogs.
No, in a quiver. And don't do a panto joke.
What is the day before today called?
Tomorrow.
No, yesterday.
Finally, how is Winston Churchill described in Andrew Roberts' biography of him?
Like a baby on a topless beach.
What? Did he? Eh?
He looks a bit confused to me.
But what do you expect? You've just given him one of the weirdest answers we've ever had.
Well, Lord Sweetener, you crashed and burned there. I'm afraid you got no answers right whatsoever.
So I'm responsible totally for the failure of this task?
Oh no. Look, don't be sad. Look, I tell you what, we'll throw you a lifeline. One more question. What song by the Beatles is track 4 on side 2 of their Sgt. Pepper album?
Good morning.
I need a bit more.
Good morning.
Correct. Good morning, good morning.
Well done, Sir Ali. You pulled it back at the end there.
So, anyway, right. When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A commentator at horse racing.
Really? But you went into computers.
It's a very lucrative sector.
It certainly is. And in fact, we did ask you here tonight to get your expert entrepreneurial advice on our podcast.
Yes. You see, we feel we've started well, but we're not quite sure why we haven't yet got to the next level.
It seems to me that no one listens to you.
Well, that's not true. We have people listening to us.
Basically, you two, right?
No, it's not just us listening to our own podcast. Other people listening as well.
What evidence is there of that?
We get messages from people.
Yes. And look, these are our download figures.
It's a bit frugal.
All right. So how many listeners do you reckon you would get if you did a sketch comedy podcast?
More than 3 million.
Oh, really? What makes you think we couldn't do that?
You need to come up with a brand and your own signature.
Yeah, well, we've got our own signature tune, which we wrote ourselves, and we came up with a brand.
Yeah. Paul and Ness's Happy Hour, a sketch comedy podcast with added stuff and nonsense.
And you was kind of happy with it then?
Very happy.
Sounds like a witch's spell. What does it mean?
Well, it means it's got sketches plus the little in-betweeny talky bits, you know, all presented by us.
Badly presented.
You know what, Alan? I think you're being a bit rude, quite frankly.
A little bit too tough on your...
Hang on. Come on, just tell us... How would you improve the show?
So I want facts. Facts.
You want facts? Fine.
Strange but true.
It's strange but true.
Strange but true.
It's strange but true.
Strange but true.
It's strange but true.
This week, The Apprentice was beaten in the ratings by Wild Isles, a programme about wildlife.
Strange but true.
It's strange but true.
How'd you like that fact, you beardy prick?
Is the problem here a 50-50 problem? One of you will be fired.
You're not the boss of us, pal. You can't fire us. In fact, We are firing you from our house. We're throwing you out.
You can't.
Yes, we sodding can. Go on. How long do you think you've got to leave?
About 10 seconds.
If you're lucky. Go on. Get out.
Goodbye.
Good riddance.
Good morning.
Wanker.
Welcome back to Up the Garden Path, and we're going over live now to a greenhouse on the Crampton Estate in Northumberland, where Adam is chatting with the Lady of the Manor, Lady Sylvia Buttermere. Lady Sylvia, your garden here on the Crampton Estate is beautiful.
Oh, thank you, old boy.
And we're here in your greenhouse, which is where you cultivate your world-famous collection of orchids that resemble animals in nature.
Yes, it's been a lifelong passion of mine.
So, obviously, animals in nature are very important to you.
I'd say they're my lifeblood, to be honest, old boy. I love animals of all kinds. Hang on a minute, would you?
Shoo! Shoo! Go on! Bugger off, you bloody pests! Shoo!
Sorry about that. Now, where were we?
Well, why don't you tell us about this orchid first?
Ah, yes. The butterfly orchid. Platanthera clarantha.
Yeah, and it really does look like a butterfly, doesn't it?
Well, that's what first attracted me to it, you see. And it was this one that got me started on the whole nature orchids thing.
Yes, it's a tall orchid. It grows in hay meadows, grasslands and ancient woodlands.
Hang on, old boy. Bear with me one moment, would you?
I told you not to bugger off. Bloody scavengers, the lot of you. Consider this a warning shot. Go on, piss off.
Do forgive me, old boy.
What about this one? I believe it's the laughing bee orchid.
Yes, Ophrys apifera. I discovered this one by accident, actually, when I was being rogered in an abandoned quarry one day by Lord Buttermere. That was before his operation, of course.
Yes, you really do like getting back to nature, don't you?
It's nature that keeps us alive, old boy. All nature should be allowed to live and flourish. Oh, for God's sake, hang on.
That's it, you little sods. You had your warning. You're getting both barrels up you this time. Take that! And that! Ha 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 ha! Got you, you little shit!
Horrid little vermin, worse than fucking gippos they are.
Lady Buttermere?
What?
You say you love nature so much.
Yes.
But did you just go out there and shoot crows out of the sky?
What? Of course not. How dare you suggest such a thing? I wouldn't harm a single bird if my life depended on it.
Oh, right. That's a relief.
No. I shot those bloody teenage hoodlums from the council estate. Thieving, scrumping bastards. That's it for part one. Time for a quick break, and we'll see you in part two.
But before that, here's your happy hour teaser. The word is Yankfile, and the clue is she'll spot it if she's wearing a Macintosh. Yankfile, she'll spot it if she's wearing a Macintosh.
See you after the break. Come to Sainsbury's. Please come to Sainsbury's. Don't go to the other ones. Look, we're just as cheap. We've done a price match and everything. Yes, price match. No. Don't look at the small print. All you need to know is we've matched our prices to those cheap foreign supermarkets. So you'll save just as much money, but you don't have to be seen carrying Aldi or Lidl carrier bags home.
Come to Aldi. Please come to Aldi. We don't need to price match because we are, as you British say, cheap as chips and fish. Also, you can buy random shit from the Middle Isle that you don't even need. And if you are worried about stigma, don't worry. At checkouts, we also sell Sainsbury's carrier bags. Screw you, top four. Aldi, because as much as they like to bleat on about it, the Tories are doing fuck all about levelling up.
Oh yes, we are Waitrose. Look, we're so posh, we don't even need to use our own name for our delivery service. We've only got shops in posh, affluent places. And I bet there's a high percentage of you hasn't even heard of us. So, unless you've got a BMW and an Amex, please, don't come to Waitrose.
Welcome back. And the answer to the happy hour teaser was, of course, Blancmange.
And now, the part of the show that still only continues because somebody liked the jingle.
Jokes that make you laugh. Jokes that make you cry. Jokes that are really, really funny.
Jokes.
What are the strongest days of the week?
What
are the strongest days of the week?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Saturday and Sundays. All the others are weekdays.
These are getting better, I'll give you that.
Yay!
Time now for another edition of The Case Files of Johnny Malone. It was something o'clock on something day, and I was in my office as usual. Earlier that something day, I had received a strange telephone call. It was strange because I'd received it through the post. It was from Gilbert Lafarge, the city's art dealer. He used to be a fart dealer until the F fell off his shop front sign. He didn't have the money or the head for heights to replace it, so he moved into selling paintings instead. I had just finished making a little snail out of blue tack when suddenly he came through my door. After he'd finished masturbating through the keyhole, I let him in.
Mr. Malone, thank you so much for seeing me.
I had no choice, Mr. Lafarge. You're standing right there. He looked like a typical art dealer. He was dressed entirely in tweed. Why he'd got dressed in a river on the Scottish borders, I had no idea. He was dripping water and salmon all over my floor. What can I do for you, Mr. Lafarge?
I need your help, Mr. Malone. I had a couple of pollocks, and I've lost them.
You probably got them caught in the keyhole.
No. I mean the artist, Pollock. I had two of his paintings in my gallery, and they've been stolen.
I see. Is the floor of your gallery covered?
Yes, it has a roof.
No, I mean, do you have any footage?
I think I've got an old Betamax tape of the 73 FA Cup, but I don't see how that helps.
You misunderstand, Gilbert.
No, I don't. It means Gilbert. It's my name.
Okay, listen. Is your gallery floor covered by CCTV? Do you have any footage of the robbery?
Oh, I see. No, alas, not. However, they did leave behind a footprint.
Well, that might help. If we can identify the tread of the shoe...
No. I mean an actual footprint. A printout of a foot. Look.
I looked at the printout and recognized it immediately. It was definitely a foot. A right foot. Hairy, probably a size 10, evidence of slightly fallen arches. Then I counted the toes. There were six. There was only one perp in this town who had six toes on her right foot. The same broad who also had seven toes on her left foot. Mad Franny Baker. She was a small-time thief and a big-time trapeze artist. She could leap medium-sized buildings in a single bound. They called her Franny the Flea. All right, Mr. Lafarge, leave this with me. I think I can get to the bottom of this.
You think their bottom is involved as well as their foot?
That's not what I meant, Gilbert. As Shakespeare said, Go prick thy face, thou lily-livered boy.
I beg your pardon?
Sorry, I meant the game's afoot.
Ah, yes, that makes much more sense.
Don't know why that came out, really.
Mr. Malone, please help. I have an exhibition in a few days. I must have possession of my Pollux by then.
I trudged the rain-soaked streets on my way to Mad Franny's place, walking past the nail bars and the Turkish barbers and observing the stray cats that seem to thrive in this town.
Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow.
I stopped briefly at a street vendor.
All right, love. Wanna buy a street?
No time, vendor. I'm currently engaged.
Congratulations. Who's the lucky girl?
No, I mean engaged in a job. I'm looking for Mad Franny Baker.
Mad Franny Baker?
Yes.
Franny the Flea?
Yes.
Mad Franny 13 Toes Baker?
Yes, you know her?
Never heard of her, sorry.
The street vendor was clearly an idiot. After all, street vendor was an anagram of very stupid thicky thicko, probably, in some language somewhere. Anyway, a few deleted scenes later, I found myself at Franny Baker's place, which was, ironically, a bakery on the high street called Baker's Dozen, which wasn't anything to do with the type of shop it was. It was a reference to the number of toes Franny had. Mad Franny.
Johnny Malone, I ain't seen you since the canoe iced of 87, and I don't use mad anymore. I've gone straight.
Yeah, what's with the high street bakery, Franny?
I've always been drawn towards nominative determinism, Johnny, you know that. And the fact that I wasn't called Franny Circus Performer plus does the odd robbery every now and again meant I had to give up my old ways. This was the only option I had.
Really? Well, this was found at a recent art theft. How do you explain this?
Pythagoras' theorem. Easy. In a right-angled triangle, the square of the hypotenuse is equal to the sum of the square of the two short sides. Year 7 maths, that, Johnny.
What? Sorry. Wrong piece of paper. I mean, how do you explain this?
That's my right foot.
Exactly. It was found at the scene of the crime.
Have you seen my left foot?
No, that wasn't left there.
No, I mean the Daniel Day-Lewis film.
Oh.
Overrated, if you ask me. The best actor Oscar was Kenny Branagh's All Day Long.
Quit stalling, Franny, and tell me what you know about the theft of a couple of Pollux.
Is this the joke about the Russian?
What?
What do you call a Russian with three bollocks? Udinik and Akarov?
Come on, Franny, I haven't got all something day.
Listen, Johnny, I weren't there, I swear it. I've been working solidly here in my bakery. Why would I steal two paintings? I don't need the dough. Wait a minute. Framed.
No, I believe they're just naked canvas paintings done with oil and acrylic.
No, I mean, I must have been framed. Someone must have come in here, took a picture of me foot, then left it there to frame me.
Then I'm going to need a list of all your customers over the past 24 hours.
Okay, here you are.
Mrs. Pinnett, Mrs. Crump, Mr. Galsworthy, nothing funny about any of those.
You're telling me.
Wait a minute, who's this? Ms. Lavinia Lafarge. Isn't she Gilbert Lafarge's twin sister and slightly less successful art dealer?
Yeah, she came in to buy a load of canapes and vol-au-vents for some big unveiling she was having.
Thanks, Franny. Looks like your bread isn't the only thing you've proven today. Lavinia's gallery was over the other side of town. It was actually very close to my favorite watering hole, the Fur and Knickers. But we didn't have time for that scene, so instead, I went straight into the gallery to confront Lavinia.
Who on earth are you?
Who I am isn't important. Well, except to my mother, I guess. And to me, obviously, to a certain... Anyway, shut up, never mind. I hear you're planning a little unveiling of some new artwork, Lavinia Lafarge.
What's that got to do with you? Anyway, no, I'm not. I haven't had any new pieces in here for weeks.
Oh, really? Then what's behind the curtain over there?
Nothing.
Really? Nothing behind the curtain?
Don't look behind the curtain.
Who are you?
Oh, I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
I told you not to look behind the curtain.
All right, then what about this curtain? Just as I thought. A whole load of blobs and swirls and squiggly lines with absolutely no artistic merit whatsoever. These must be the stolen Pollocks.
Damn you, Johnny Malone.
I'm afraid you've been caught red-handed.
Oh, yes, I'm in the middle of painting a field of poppies.
But why, Lavinia?
I like poppies.
Why steal from your own brother?
Gilbert's nothing but a fraud. He was never interested in art. He was just a backstreet peddler of bottom burps and cheap sound effects. I was the true artist in the family.
Then why turn to crime? Why get broiled up in this mess?
My brother was starting to pull focus off my gallery, so I wanted to hurt him. Hurt him where it would hurt him the most. Right in the pollocks. I thought framing Fanny the Flea would put me in the clear.
No, Franny's just a humble baker now. She's fully risen from a life of crime. And now, Lavinia, I'm afraid you're going to be serving time.
Oh, God, no. I could never sell that monstrosity by Salvador Dali. Melting bloody clocks? Ridiculous piece.
No, Lavinia, I mean you'll be spending time in jail for stealing valuable artwork.
Oh, yes. I see. It's ironic, really, isn't it?
What is?
10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife?
Time to go, Ms. Lafarge. It was something past a number on some winter day, and I was back in my office. My time in the art world was over. For now, at least. But probably forever, as I didn't like to repeat ideas too much. I leaned back in my chair, fell off it because I'd leant just a bit too far past the point of no return, then jumped up to stand waiting for the next case for Johnny Malone.
Well, Paul has had to leave the studio for a few minutes. The dog needs a shit. But I'm delighted to say that we're joined in the happy hour bear pit by our resident storyteller, Kylie Lichberg-Ball. Hello, Kylie.
G'day, Nessa. It's good to be back after last time.
Yes, we had to pull your segment from the last episode, didn't we?
Yeah, just because I tweeted a few comments of my own views about Roald Dahl. I mean, I didn't see the problem, to be honest. He was an anti-Semitic misogynist with about as much talent as a decapitated horsefly.
Right, well, shall we just get on with your story, please, Kylie?
Right, g'day, little Bruces and Sheilas. Today's story is The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse by some artist bloke by the name of Charles McKessie. All right, now, I'm not going to do the whole story because it's 134 pages, which is too long, in my opinion. Too long by 134 fucking pages, quite frankly. So I'm just going to give you the basic gist of it and you can make up your own minds, all right? So, first of all, there's the boy and he's lonely. But what do you know, along comes a fucking mole. Who's on the hunt for cake, by the way. And that's a running theme that makes no bloody sense. So anyway, straight away the kid says hello and the mole immediately comes back with, "I'm so small." Which is a weird fucking way to introduce yourself. But the boy replies, "Yes, but you make a huge difference." So, righty-o, that's the kind of book this is going to be, is it? Sure enough, you flick through the first few pages and you've got, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" "Kind," says the boy. And, "What do you think success is?" asks the boy. And the male replies, "To love." So it's basically fucking positive quotation Instagram memes for kindergartens. And sure enough, they go on a journey to try and get home, which is presumably a metaphor for life. And by the way, what's this little kid doing just sitting out on his own in the middle of nowhere, lonely and lost? Where's his fucking parents, for crying out loud? Anyway, there's more of the same sort of crap. Imagine how we would be if we were less afraid, blah, blah, blah. Then they meet the fox. Who starts off by being a right cunt, by the way. He wants to kill the mole. But the mole rescues him from a snare, which shuts the fox right up. So now we've got three companions going on this crappy, babyfied Paolo Coelho ripoff. Then they meet the horse and they trudge for a bit more and there's I think everyone is just trying to get home, and we love you, and love brings you home. Puke. They run with the horse for a bit, and it all seems nice, but then the boy falls off and feels guilty for spoiling the fun, whatever the fuck all that's supposed to mean. But next, right? Drama. Tension. It gets a bit serious. And the horse says, there's something I haven't told you. And we reckon, oh no, this is going to be the death bit. The horse is really ill and hasn't got long left. And this is the bit where the kid has to like deal with the realisation that death is a very much reality of life.
Ooh.
But is it that?
Mm.
Is it buggery? The secret the horse has been keeping is that it can fly. It's a fucking flying horse, of course it is. But, it says, right, it stopped flying because, quote, it made the other horses jealous. What the fuck? If I could fly, I wouldn't give a fuck about making other people jealous. I'd be up in the air like a fucking drone just flicking the V's and pissing on people. So anyway, next we've got the boy, the mole and the fox up in the air on the horse's back, which is basically the walking in the air sequence from The Snowman. Mm-hmm. Then blah, 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 more of the same for about another fucking 20 pages, right? And then presumably, Charles McKessie got bored because they haven't got home yet, right? But they just suddenly stop their journey and declare, home isn't always a place, is it? And that's the fucking end of that. I mean, I'm so fucking irritated by this book, I'm not even going to waste my time summing it up for you, right? So there you go, little Bruces and Sheilas. I'll see you next time for another edition of Jack of Fucking Norrie.
Well, there you go. Thanks very much, Kylie Litchberg Bull. I'm off now for a lie down in a dark room.
Oh, I had a weird dream last night, Gary.
Oh, yeah, Terry. What was that then?
Well, I just kept dreaming that I was a wigwam, then I was a teepee. Just kept flashing through my mind. Wigwam, teepee, wigwam, teepee.
You know your trouble, mate. You're too tense. Anyway, that's nothing, mate. Last night, I dreamt that I was appearing on stage completely naked.
Are we ready, ladies? Please welcome to the stage, the Chippendales.
Oh, you're living a dream then, mate.
Woke up this morning, got out of bed, naked in the mirror, so this is what I said. Get dressed, man, you gotta get dressed, man. Nobody likes to see you nude, you gotta be a normal dressed man. So first I put my pants on, then I put my socks on. First I did the left one, then I did the right one. Then I thought about a cotton vest to cover up my hairy chest. But finding one would be a quest, so I moved on to the rest. Get dressed, man, you gotta get dressed, man. Nobody likes to see you nude. You gotta be a normal dressed man. I picked up yesterday's shirt from off of my bedroom floor. A quick whiff, then I put it on. It would go for a few days more. Then my trousers from the back of the chair, ate some toast while I tied my tie. Put on my jacket, then I'm out the door to my job as an office guy. I got dressed, man, I know how to get dressed, man, 'cause that's the normal thing to do when you go out, be a normal dressed man.
You have been listening to Paul and Nessa's Happy Hour, conceived, written and performed by Paul Dunn and Nessa Caron.
Monty the Dog was played in a special guest appearance by Georgie the Black Lab.
Follow her on Instagram.
Music was from filmmusic.io. For full credit details, see the show notes.
The script editor was Paul Dunn. Happy Hour is a Craig Danville production.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
He used to be a fart dealer until the F fell off from his fuck. I had just finished making a little snail out of blue tack. After he'd finished masturbating through the keyhole, I let him in. After he'd finished masturbating through the keyhole, I used to stop laughing. Stop laughing at masturbating.
He's through the door.
After he'd finished masturbating, fuck off.
I didn't do anything then.
I know, it was me. Is the floor of your gallery covered?
Yes, it has a roof.
No, I mean, do you have...
So stupid.
You misunderstand, Gilbert.
No, I don't. It means Gilbert. It's my name.
Fucking hell. Oh, God.
I trudged the rain-soaked streets on my way to Mad Franny's place and observing the stray cats that seem to thrive in this town.
Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
What a cunt. One line in, can't even do it.
Meow, meow.
Once more.
I really prepared myself for that as well.
Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Bellend.
The street vendor was clearly an idiot. After all, street vendor was an anagram of very stupid thinking. Thing.
Oh, God.
Right, come on. After all, street vendor was an anagram. The street vendor was clearly an idiot. After all, street vendor was an anagram of... Fuck off. Oh, God, I'll be glad when this series is finished and I don't have to do any more of these.